Shall we look to the Lord again in a word of prayer? Father, we do desire that our souls would be at peace with Thee. We thank You for Your grace that provides strength. And we know, Lord, that grace comes before peace. As we read in Your Word, grace and peace be multiplied unto You through the deeper knowledge of Your Word. And Father, we've come to open Your Word that we might have peace. We know, Lord, that wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability of our times and strength of salvation. And the fear of the Lord is our treasure. And so, Lord, we do pray that You would fill us with the knowledge that we need to be at peace and to learn the fear of the Lord, that we might walk with You faithfully every day. We again ask You for Your blessings upon our time of fellowship around Your Word. And we ask You, Father, to change us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. We've been studying in the book of Hebrews. We've been studying in the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews. And that chapter deals with men and women who needed their spirits to be at peace. When you read about the difficulties that they had, you know that there was a great time of struggle for them. And we are to be encouraged with them. I want to read one verse, Hebrews 11:23. It says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents, because they saw that he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandments." Actually, it was by faith, Moses' parents. Moses, he exercised faith a verse or two down from there. But Hebrews chapter 11 is a cloud of witnesses that we have to encourage us today. We see that in Hebrews 12:1. "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." The reference to the sin is a reference to lawlessness. The sin is a particular sin, and a little study of the Scriptures will teach us that it's lawlessness. And to say in our hearts that we have the right to do what we want to do is taking away God's authority out of our life. And let me tell you, that will cause you to stumble and fall in the race. So we need to lay aside every weight and the sin, lest we run wearily in the race and quit. I just read in verse 23 of Hebrews 11 that Moses' parents were not afraid of the king's commandments. They didn't have the cloud of witnesses that we have today, but they did have two witnesses. And we find that in Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 and following. "And the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of which the names of one was Shephrah, and the other was, and the name of the other was Puah. And he said, When you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them on the stools, if it be a son, then ye shall kill him. But if it be a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God, and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. Therefore God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mighty. And it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that He made them houses." These two women, who were midwives, were a witness to Amram and Jochebed, who are the parents of Moses. And I believe that they were not afraid of the king's commandments because these two women were not afraid of the king's commandments. If you don't think your witness to other people is important, you're wrong. I think that they were bold in hiding Moses because these two ladies were bold. In that they, first of all, let me just say this, the threat of the king was real. Little male children were being killed just like they were when Jesus was born. And the threat was real. And they did the best they could to hide the child, Moses. And then when there was nothing else they could do, they had to put the child into God's hands. But they were bold. They had strength. They had courage because of these two ladies, these two midwives. They saw that God dealt well with the midwives and blessed them. And the people multiplied. So they knew it was God's will for the male children to be spared. And I think it's really neat that God made them houses. Now that's not houses on the street. I don't think these two ladies were looking for a place to live in Egypt. In fact, everything was beginning to begin to roll in God's plans and purpose for them to leave. This is talking about houses like the house of David. David had a house. And others in the Old Testament had houses. In other words, whose house are we if we hold fast? We are of the house of the Lord. We find this in Hebrews chapter 3. The house of Moses. He was faithful in his house. But anyway, these ladies, God made them houses. And so they did respect the king's commandment to kill. In Exodus chapter 2, verses 1-3, it says, "And when a man of the house of Levi, and took to wife a daughter of Levi." And so I'm bringing this out so that you can see that the parents of Moses were Amram and Jochebed. In Exodus chapter 6 and verse 20, it says, "And Amram took him Jochebed, his father's sister, to wife, and she bare him Aaron and Moses." So the threat was real, because they did hide him for 3 months. And when they no longer could hide Moses, it says in verse 3, "And when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and dabbed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink." She put Moses into the Lord's hands. And that's one of the things that I want to talk about this morning, is the fact that we need to make a commitment to the Lord so that when times of trials and testing come our way, we know that we can trust the Lord to take care of us. God took care of Moses. If He took care of Moses, He will take care of you. He will take care of me. I'm just thinking, I didn't put it in the notes, but I was just thinking about the fact that God required the men of Israel to go to the temple 3 times a year. And the Lord said, "In those 3 times that you go to the temple a year, no man will desire your property. You can walk off and leave your land. You can leave your house unlocked. Nobody's going to touch it. I'll make sure of that." And I was thinking about a missionary couple in China. And they were there during the Boxer Rebellion. And the couple had children that had died in China. I was trying to think of their name, but I can't even... Yeah, Goforths. That's right. The Goforths was their name. And They had a ministry in China, and the Boxer Rebellion forced them to leave. They had to travel 1,000 miles, walk 1,000 miles in perilous times to get out of the Boxer Rebellion or the killing of the missionaries. And Rosalind Goforth was concerned about her children, and she prayed much over her children because she had already lost four. They had buried four because of disease. And the Lord told her, in a sense, you take care of what's important to me, and I'll take care of what's important to you. And we need to live that way. You take care of what's important to me, I'll take care of what's important to you. And so here we find Amram and Jochebed taking care of what's important to them and then having to put it in the Lord's hands. We are encouraged not to fear. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, it says, "And fear not them which can kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both the body and the soul in hell." We're not to fear those who can kill our bodies. I heard on the radio this morning where terrorists threw 3 hand grenades in a church service in Pakistan this morning, killing 2 American worshipers. It was a Christian church, wounding 40 and killing, I think, 2 more other people. We're not to fear those who can kill the body, because the Word of God says very plainly, absent from the body means what for a child of God? Present with the Lord. Amen. It sure does. We're not to fear those who can kill the body, but we're to fear Him who can kill the body, and He can cast the soul into hell. He can deal with us on the hereafter. So we're not to fear those who can kill us. Noah, Daniel, and Job are 3 men in the Old Testament that had life-threatening experiences. And I want to reflect upon these 3 a little bit, because I think that these men had the same experiences that Moses' parents had. In Ezekiel chapter 14, verses 19 and 20, it says, "Or if I send pestilence into the land and pour out my fury upon it in blood, to cut off from it man and beast, though Noah, Daniel, and Job were in it, as I live, saith the Lord, they shall deliver neither son nor daughter, they shall but deliver their own souls by their righteousness." Here we have 3 men, and these 3 men are not able to deliver anyone else but themselves. That's one thing that we need to keep in mind. Our own personal walk with the Lord. Our own personal commitment to the Lord. I cannot be committed to the Lord for you. You cannot be committed to the Lord for me. But we can be committed to the Lord and honor Him with our life. In Daniel chapter 1, verse 8, it says, "And Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine that he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself." Daniel purposed in his heart. When did he purpose in his heart to do this? When they set the meal in front of him that he couldn't eat? No, he purposed in his heart before they were brought into captivity. He made his commitment to God a long time before he was put to the test. That's one of the things that we, as His children, need to do. We need to be committed to the Lord before we are put to the test. When you know that the threat is real, you may wane. You may change your mind. And we'll see that possibility here in the lives of Noah, Daniel, and Job, and also Daniel's friends. But anyway, Daniel made a commitment to the Lord a long time before he sat down at the king's table. In Daniel 1:17 it says, "As for these children, God gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding in all visions and dreams." By being committed to the Lord, God provided everything that they needed. He knew what was in their future. He knew that Daniel would go through the lion's den. He knew that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was going to go through the fiery furnace. They didn't know it. But they had committed themselves to the Lord early in their life, and it says that God blessed them and gave them knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. They were able to learn the language. They were able to learn the affairs of state of Babylon. And it wasn't superficial. The kings of Babylon could see the value of these Hebrew children. In Daniel chapter 6, verse 10, it says, "Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled down upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God, as he did aforetime." What did Daniel know? Daniel knew that he had been conspired against, and he got the king to say, "If anyone calls upon any other god, then the king of Babylon, he would be thrown in the lion's den." I think it is really encouraging to me that Daniel knew this. And he didn't say, "I need to be excused. I need to go on a retreat. I need to go on a long vacation," so that he could continue in his prayer life and no one would see it. He said, Daniel says, "I know what has been signed, and it's not going to change my life." Did you know? I think all of us would enjoy going through the lion's den if we knew we would come out on the other side. But you know what? It takes boldness to suffer whatever the consequences are to experience what Daniel experienced. You'll never have a lion's den experience unless you're committed to God and to the habits that you have created before the time. Daniel was in a habit of praying three times a day. He wasn't going to change just because the king wrote a commandment. It was more important for him to be in right relationship with the Lord, with his God. And he says, "I'm going to just suffer the consequences." In Daniel chapter 6, verse 27, it says, "And he delivered and rescueth, and he worketh signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who can deliver Daniel from the power of the lions?" Daniel was delivered from the lions. Then, in chapter 3 of Daniel, we see Daniel's three friends who had committed themselves to the Lord as well. In Daniel chapter 3, verses 15 through 19, this is Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, "Now if ye be ready, that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, the flute, the harp, the sackbut, the psaltery, and the dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made." Well. In other words, if you do this, well. "But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is the God that shall deliver you out of my hands?" Boy, that's talking like that just simply means to God, sick 'em. You can't talk about God like that and get away with it, in a way, if you understand what I'm saying. There, God is merciful. Don't get me wrong. There are people today that are blaspheming God. And God is merciful, but this is a situation where God wanted to record it to encourage you and I. Now, what happened? Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. They were bold. We're not afraid to answer you. We're not anxious about this situation. And in verse 17, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. It doesn't make any difference what happens to us, O king. God's going to deliver us. Either we'll go through the fiery furnace unscathed, or we'll be in his presence. And that is deliverance. To be killed and to be in the presence of the Lord is not a bad thing. Paul was in the strait over that. He didn't know whether to be with the Lord or to continue the work that God had given him. And of course, he chose to continue the work. Now, he says, but verse 18 says, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then said Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace seven times more than it was wont to be heated. Now, how long do you think it took to heat that furnace seven times hotter? Well, it wasn't in the same hour. It took a little longer than 1 hour to heat that furnace. You know what that did? That allowed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego a little time. Think about this. You know, the devil knows how to work on us. He works on our thought life. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had a little time to change their mind. But you know what? Their resolve was fast in trusting the Lord to take care of them. And of course we know that they went into the fiery furnace and the Lord joined them. And you know, there was another one in there with them. The Lord was with them. And that's not bad either. Now, in verse 28 of Daniel 3, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who hath sent his angel and delivered his servants that trust in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God. We need to have that kind of commitment today to go through what the parents of Moses went through and to what Daniel went through. We need to make commitment. In fact, Romans 12:1 says, Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that is clean, undefiled, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. The Lord wants us to be living sacrifices. In Job, we find some interesting thoughts. I've been reading in Job for my devotions, and I ran across this passage in Job 5, and this is just like a nickel in a little boy's pocket in a candy store. It needs to be spent. I want to share this with you. This was encouraging to me. He says, behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. For he maketh sore and bindeth up. He woundeth and his hands make hold. Discipline and chastening of the Lord prepares us for the lion's den and the fiery furnace. Going into captivity was not fun and games for the nation of Israel and for Daniel and his friends. It was not fun. It was discipline. They were forced to do things that they didn't want to do. They were forced to learn a culture that was foreign to them. They were forced to learn a language. They were forced to leave the temple where they worship. And so, happy is the man whom the Lord corrects, or chastens, or disciplines, or forces you to do things you don't want to do so you can trust Him to take care of it, or take care of you. Continuing in chapter 5 of Job, He shall deliver thee in 6 troubles, yea, in 7 there shall no evil touch thee. In other words, all of your troubles He'll take care of you, okay? In famine He shall redeem thee from death. In war, from the power of the sword. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue. Neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. At destruction and famine thou shalt laugh. Neither shalt thou be afraid of the beasts of the earth. Can you imagine being laughing when there's a famine going on? You can do it. You know why? You're trusting God to take care of you. You can laugh because God's in charge. He's in control. He made heaven and earth. And He can take care of you. And thou shalt be in league with the stones of the field. And the beast of the field shall be at peace with you. When I thought about being in league with stones of the field, I wondered what that meant. Well, have you ever walked through a quarry? Or have you ever walked out in the field where there are stones? How many of you have ever run from a stone because you were afraid of it? Only the stones that are on a cliff would you run from, because they, you know, falling rock, you know, that's the chief they keep looking for. Watch out for falling rock. Anyway, stones are something that you're not afraid of. And when God is in charge of your life, they're just going to pass you by like stones in the field. The word league there is actually in a covenant. Or it has to do with, in other words, you're in with the stones and you don't have to be afraid. And the animals will just walk right on by. I've never seen an animal attack a stone to devour it. And I just really took courage in those verses, particularly in what's going on today. We're living in a fearful time. In Isaiah 14:24, it says, "The Lord of hosts hath sworn, saying, Surely as I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand." I know that God has a plan and a purpose for me, and it's going to come to pass, and I don't have to worry about any of the circumstances in my life. I may not like what's going on in my life, but I don't have to worry about it. In fact, I can laugh about it at times. Job completely trusted the Lord. In Job 23:10-12, "But He knoweth the way that I take. When He hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held His steps. His ways have I kept, and not declined. Neither have I gone back from the commandments of His lips. I have esteemed the words of His mouth more than my necessary food." Job was confident, what? In the Lord knowing where he was. And he also knew how he was walking. And the fact that he kept his commandments and he didn't decline from his walk with the Lord. And he knew how he valued the Word of God. I tell you, the Word of God is the source of our strength. When we know the truth of the Word of God, we don't have to be shaken. That's why we teach the Word of God here, so that you can be strengthened in your walk with the Lord and not be afraid in these days. In verse 15 it says, Though He slay me, yet will I trust in Him. But I will maintain my own ways before Him. There are times when the Lord does allow people to be taken. I've been reading a missionary book, Angola, My Beloved. Missionary serving in Angola back in the 29, and he served there for 40 some odd years. And it was heart-wrenching to see faithful servants, well, even missionaries, that they no sooner got off the boat in Angola and they died of black water fever or yellow fever or some kind of disease. And so there are times when God does take a man or a woman. That's His business. And we have to leave those things into His hands. In verse 13 of Job 23, it says, "But He is in one mind, and who can turn Him? And what His soul desireth, even that He doeth. For He performeth the thing that is appointed for me, and many such things are with Him." I need to realize the fact that God is in charge, and He is going to perform some things that are appointed for me. And how am I going to change that? I really don't want to change that. Jesus prayed in the garden. He said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Take this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what Thou wilt." Jesus submitted to the will of the Father. Job did the same thing. I like what the Lord said to Job in Job 40. Verses 7 and 8. The Lord says to Job, "Gird up thy loins now like a man." He says, "Now stand up there, Job, like a man." I says, "I'm going to ask you some questions and I want you to teach me." Can you imagine the Lord saying that to you or to me? I want you to stand up here and I want you to teach me some things, Job. And what does he teach? What does he say? "Will thou annul my judgment?" The King James says disannul. It's really annul. "Will you cancel my decisions for you?" And then he says, "Will thou condemn me that thou mayest be righteous?" And you know what Job answered? Nothing. He had no answer. And who are we to tell God that your ideas are no good? And what you just got through doing, it's an embarrassment to me. I know that when this 9/11 thing happened, we happened to be in a store getting our glasses, getting some glasses, and man, they were railing upon God like you wouldn't believe. That, you know, if I was God, I wouldn't let that happen. Well, I don't understand why God allowed it to happen, but let me tell you, I know what the Word of God says. The Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. Who am I to question what He allows and what He does? But let's continue. I do not want to annul His judgments, and I don't want to condemn Him so that I look good and He looks bad. And Isaiah 55:9 tells us, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We need to know that, we need to accept that, and we need to live by that. In Nahum 1:7, "The Lord is good." When I read that verse, I read it to convince myself that God is good. He is not evil. The Lord is good, and He is a stronghold in the day of trouble. I know where to go when I get in trouble. I know to go to the Lord. And it says, "He knoweth them that trust in Him." You know what? I want the Lord to know me. I don't want the Lord to say to me, "I never knew you." If you don't trust Him, He's going to say, "Hey, I'm not going to recognize you because you didn't recognize me when you were in trouble. You didn't trust me when you needed to." By the way, the Lord knows everyone. The statement that I just got through making out of Matthew chapter 7 in verse 23, it's just simply saying, "I don't recognize you." because by performing miracles when you shouldn't have been, you weren't doing what I wanted you to do. The will of the Father was involved there, but that's another study in itself. But anyway, I want the Lord to know me. And then I read in Micah 7:7, because I want the Lord to know me, he says, therefore will I look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. You know what I'm doing? I'm sharing verses of Scripture with you right now that I use when I am praying before the Lord. These are verses that are important to me. These are verses that I want to instill in my thoughts. I want to believe in my heart that God will hear me when I pray. In Psalms 145, verses 17 through 19, the Lord is righteous in all His ways and holy in all His works. The Lord is nigh unto all them that call upon Him, to all that call upon Him in truth. I tell you, when I'm praying, I'm not joking. I'm not playing games with God. I'm coming to Him in truth. This is the way it is, Lord, with my heart and my life. I'm struggling with this. But I know that in my struggle, that I can count on the fact that You are righteous in all Your ways and holy in all Your works. And I acknowledge that, and I'm not going to deny that. And Lord, I'll ask You for grace to accept what You have appointed for me. I'm going to trust You. Just like Moses' parents did when they pushed him out into the Nile River to put him in the hands of God, and which was not too bad. She got to nurse that child and get paid for it. I'm sure there'd be a lot of mothers that would love to have that, love that happen, to be paid to nurse their own child. But anyway, let's continue. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him. He will hear their cry and save them. The key to this verse is this. He doesn't answer every prayer like we pray it. When it says He will fulfill the desire of them that fear Him, what is the desire that we should have? When we fear the Lord, we should be wanting what? His will to be done in our life. You know what I want to hear when I stand before Him? I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That's my desire. Now, I would appreciate it if I could be healed of cancer. I would appreciate it if I could get a job. Or I would appreciate, you know, these things that I need to continue my life. But if it's not pleasing to You for this to happen, I accept it. Because I do want to stand in Your presence approved. I like what Jesus said to Pilate. And we need to appreciate this in our lives as well. Jesus answered, "Thou couldst have no power at all against Me, except it were given thee from above." Did you know that nothing can happen to you without God's permission? Job suffered a lot. He lost all of his finances. He lost his kids. He lost his health. Why? Because God gave Satan permission. Nothing can happen to you or to me without God's permission. We are bought with a price. We're not our own. And He knows who His own are. May God help us in these days to trust Him. Not only trust Him for our lives, but to also trust Him for our salvation. Jesus Christ died on the cross to make it easy for us to be saved, to be part of the family, to come under these promises of care and blessing. And when the Philippian jailer asked Paul what to do to be saved, the only place in the Bible where saved is in the question and saved is in the answer, in Acts 16:31, Paul said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." If you're here this morning and you have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not accepted the finished work of Jesus Christ's work on the cross for yourself, I'd invite you to do that. Then you will be prepared to go through the fiery furnace, whether you make it through or not. Or you will be prepared to go through the lion's den, whether you make it or not, because we belong to Him. Shall we look to the Lord in prayer? Father, You know our needs. You know each heart here this morning. We ask You, Father, to minister Your Word to each of our hearts this morning. There be those here this morning that do not know You as personal Savior. May they make that decision this morning and receive You. We pray, Lord, that You would help us to apply Your words to Noah and Daniel and Job, and so that we will not be fearful in these days of when men's hearts are failing them because of what's going on the earth. Help us, Lord, to be at peace with Thee. And Lord, help us to make peace with You through the Lord Jesus Christ, for it's in His name we pray. Amen.